back, everybody, to another episode of the Men of Ann Arbor podcast. As always, I am Stuart Douglas alongside Petey Sims. Petey, I'm coming off another 25-point-plus performance tonight in a win in my rec league, and I was curious, not to brag, I was curious if you have been playing at all, because I feel like it would be unfair in rec leagues.
In rec leagues, no. I just played last summer in the crew league. It was some type of league where all the famous rappers play in Atlanta. You should check it out, man. I'm on YouTube. We go to 21.
For real?
We play, yep, play half court. We went to 21. I think I scored 19. Jordan Crawford was on my team. We played against NLE Chopper, Waka Flocka, Quavo, and Roddy Rich.
Who was on your team? Waka was on your team?
Yeah, no, no. We played against them. Each rapper from their respective regions had a team. And Babyface Ray from Detroit. He invited me to come out and play. It was on TV too.
That's hilarious. Where? What was it on?
I can't forget. P. Diddy has a network. Revolt. It was on Revolt TV. Yep.
Dude, I gotta find footage of this. This is hilarious.
Hey, Stu, they put the fire on my head. I subbed in. I think I scored 7 straight. I hadn't touched a ball in probably 4 or 5 months prior to that. So, yeah, I still got it, man.
You just went off. Of course you did. Yeah, I could see you just like work. Was anybody even over 6'6"? I feel like Waka's talking.
Yeah, actually, we lost, and it was for 250 grand.
Damn.
We had to. We had the better team. We had Jordan Crawford, Derek Nix. We had a couple other D1 guys that's retired from the Detroit area, man. We had the best team. It was just Detroit guys getting a chance to party in Atlanta. I think the day before the championship game, we didn't come in to probably 10 a.m. and the game was at 12 noon. So, you know.
Who'd you this is probably like the whitest question from a person from Indiana can ask, but was it Magic City? The night before?
It was Magic City. It was Copper Cove. It was in Atlanta. It's just an all-night thing, man. It's an all-night thing. It's like a marathon.
So who was on this team that you lost to?
It was, I remember one guy that I played overseas against. Other than that, I wasn't sure. It was some Atlanta locals, and they had the crowd, of course, and Waka Flocka was a favorite to win it. So it was a lot of politics in the last game. The first game, we won easy, but the second game, a lot of politics.
Yeah, I can see that. That's hilarious. Yeah, I got to watch that footage. I guess some of you found it. I got to find some clips. I might put that on Twitter. I need Ant to break down the footage. That would be hilarious. I'm sure Ant hasn't seen it either. And he's the one that can break down.
It's something y'all seen before. I'm sure you've seen it. You've seen me play 1,000 times. So
I know, but I miss it, man. I love that old footage. I want one of those Synergy accounts. Because you know we could like watch our Israeli games.
I always heard of.
Yeah. I had a buddy who had a friend who's in scouting. I think he works for the Suns right now, but he was, when he was with the Blazers, he was scouting Israel for the Blazers. And he's like, oh yeah, I know that dude. And I'm like, you can watch my games in Israel and I can get that. No, it's expensive as hell, Synergy account, but if you got it, you got to utilize it.
I think one of my coaches overseas had it and he was breaking it down to me and he can type in post fades from the left block of any player that he wants to. And every post fade you shot in your pro career will pop up. Yeah, so it's a great app, a great system to have.
Ant pulled up mine. This was like, I don't know, last year sometime, college, like efficiency. And you like it'll put you, you know, ball screen going right, points per possession produced by such and such player. And they're like in 90th percentile, 40th percentile. And I think I was like 90th percentile in like ball screen offense. And I was like, this mother, like I never really got to work the ball screen. And I was like, the stats are right there. And obviously I'm using more ball screens, like my efficiency is going to drop, but it was fun to see that and be like, yeah, should have given me more ball screens, John, but never did.
For sure. It always gives you a great look at the things that you're good at or could have been better at during the game. So, like I say, man, it's good to look at your highlights. It's good to have a program like Synergy. We need to invest in it, man, one day.
Yeah. No, it was the best. Like, being able to break down, Brandon Paul is going left, and when he goes left, he's shooting pull-ups 75% of the time, and he's shooting 40% on those pull-ups. We want that. It's like, great. And I'm forcing him left and not let him get to the basket. Stuff like that was invaluable. But that's high-level college stuff. I want to know a PD's coach's short corner. We got something this week. How's because playoffs are done, right? Like, the season's over. No, we're still going?
So we won our
first – I guess it's sectional time in Indiana, but
– Yeah, we short corner real quick. Won our first district game yesterday against – we won by two. It was a tough game. It was a tough game, but now we're going against my high school coach, one of my high school coaches. He got, like, maybe the top five team in the state.
Damn.
You know. So, and one of my friends also coached on that team, which you know, Cortez. And Cortez went to the school that I'm coaching at now. And it's kind of like a bittersweet thing because, you know, they left Pershing on a bad note and they coming back seeking vengeance. So,
oh, for real?
It's pretty much
one of those. Where's that? Yeah. Where's the game?
Is that Pershing? Is that my high Pershing? School? Yeah.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, we're going to need an update on that because that's big. I know Cortez is. Yeah, they blood. I saw him that he was coaching on that team.
Yeah, I talked to my coach. I talked to Wydell yesterday at the game. Wydell Henry, he was the coach, assistant coach at Pershing when I was there, and he planned on putting 200 on the board tomorrow. 200 points.
It's like that. He's that already called the shot.
He called.
He pointed his Babe Ruth pointing to the center field. Damn, dude, that's rough.
And it's tough.
Yeah, you guys got to muck it up then.
Yeah.
Are you going to tell the players that?
I think they already know, Stu. I think they already know, man. It's a powerhouse. And with social media, they've been watching this team all year, so they know what's to come tomorrow.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll need an update on that next week.
I got you.
Let's get into some Michigan basketball stuff. Tough loss against Purdue. They fought hard, man. They were 0-18. Against the spread in losses, and they covered. They covered against Purdue, and I had a feeling. I had a really good feeling they were going to cover, but I didn't put a bet down. I'm on a betting hiatus right now. No parlays, nothing. But I had a good feeling that they were going to compete pretty hard, and I think they did that. I mean, Purdue is just tough, dude. Like, Olivier got in foul trouble. Olivier's out. Terrace and Will both fouled out eventually at the end of the game. And they still kept it, you know, within distance. There was a shot at the end that I thought was a good look. You know, slight quick trigger from Doug, but he shoots quick, so it all looks the same. Good look from three at top of the key to make it a two-possession game. Just didn't go down. They couldn't quite close the gap and get within 6 points. But I thought they competed hard. And I know people are out on this year. And I kind of want to talk about the crowd once I get your opinion on how they played. But
yeah, that was crazy,
I was really proud of the guys. I was really proud of the players. And I thought, you know, how they coached was pretty decent. There was some zone stuff I still didn't love, but I understand you're trying to protect fouls with your big fellows going against Edie. But overall, like, I'm trying to take away positives. I liked how they competed. I thought they were aggressive. And they didn't back down the entire game. And, you know, they've had those spells where they give up runs in the second half all year, and that wasn't there. They fought hard, and I'm hoping that they end the year the players proud of themselves for their effort they've been given. And I think they did that for the most part. I mean, you got guys that, you know, probably aren't all there, but I think for the most part, top to bottom, like, they played hard and competed. I don't know what else you can really ask for at this point, you know.
Yes, usually when you're playing against a number one team or a top team and like Purdue, you know, it's either you're going to get blew out or you're going to bring that – you're going to match their energy. You're going to match their toughness. And I think we stood in the game for most of the game, you know, with Doug, you know, trying to find his rhythm, trying to, you know, hone in and get a good grasp from these suspensions and the home and away games is just, you know, I don't think he can get a great rhythm to be able to beat a team like Purdue. You know, he's the head of the snake. And that game, it was just, I saw if the suspensions weren't in, if he could play away games and he can, you know, get his rhythm in game plan, I think we would have had a better shot of beating Purdue. Along with the crowd, you know, I heard we were on spring break. Half of Indiana drove up to Chrysler. Yep, half of Indiana drove up to Chrysler. And
is it spring break? I forgot. We did early spring break at Michigan.
We did an early spring break. I read that we did an early spring break because that's the first thing I noticed was the crowd, and it was so many Purdue fans. Everyone talked about it.
I got a couple of texts from buddies like, the loudest chant is "Boiler up," and I'm like, get out of my face. I don't want to hear this right now. But if you want to rub that in my face, but I didn't realize it was spring break. That makes total sense. Yeah, let alone, I mean, let's be honest, the fan support has not been super great. I understand why. But spring break does not help whatsoever.
Yeah, it made it been more difficult.
And they're number one. So to me, it wasn't that crazy to think like it's only what, 3.5 hours away from West Lafayette. It's not that far.
You know, I'm not sure. Were we driving when we played in Purdue, or we flew first class?
That's a really good question. I think we drove.
I think we drove too.
That was the only other game we drove.
Besides Michigan State.
But I say that. I don't know. That's a good question. It would be the only other game we could drive, I think. But
yeah, we were spoiled, probably, man. We were on that plane a lot, man. We were on that plane a lot.
It was easy.
So besides that, Stu, you know, the crowd and, you know, the moral victory. I think I read a quote. Juwan Howard said, if Hart was in the box score, if we can jot down Hart in the box score, you know, the game would have been closer. I don't want to misquote him, but he said something like that. And like you said, I seen the heart, I seen the effort, and, you know, winding down this Big Ten season, that's all we can ask for, man. Just the kids coming out, giving their heart, effort, their heart, and, you know, playing for that M for the remaining of the season.
Yeah, it was cool to see. There was a fun moment because obviously Olivier got surgery, out for the rest of the year. So that, and that's, you know, unfortunate for him. I feel for him, but it gives a guy like Will Cheddar an opportunity to get more minutes and more opportunities. And there was one moment where he's battling Edie up and down the court. I think it's the end of the first half, and he is gassed. I mean, he hasn't played like this many minutes in a row, and you are busting your butt against one of the greatest college basketball players ever, who is over 7 foot tall and just an absolute monster. And your energy gets zapped trying to battle him in space. And this is his first time getting this major minutes in a row. It was, you could have really folded in that situation. I think him and Terrace both, where you're getting in foul trouble and you're just working so hard for that guy to still just get easy buckets and offensive rebounds, but they didn't give up. Now, could their positioning have been better? Sure. Could the help side have been better? Sure. But they didn't give up. And especially a guy like Will, like I said, like this is his first time getting this many minutes in this big of a role for a game quite like this, and is against the number one player in the nation. So that was fun to watch, like, as a test. And so it'll be good to watch him, Jace, come in, get extra minutes, fill in that spot. Jace was guarding Edie. I think he played the five when Will and Terrace got in foul trouble. That was impressive to watch. Hit a couple threes, I think like 3 long-range shots. So guys filled in. They played really hard, and they played aggressive, and they showed fight. And that's all we can ask for, right? They're not making the tournament off their resume right now. I want them to compete in the Big Ten tournament and go out with a spark in their mind, whether win or loss. So, yeah, I don't know. I can't even remember. Is Doug's suspension up? Like, are we still – is he indefinite? Was it 6 games, or is he indefinitely suspended on road games? That's the part I didn't
understand. Like, it's been – I'm sure when we first was aware of it, it was 6 games.
You think – yeah. Well, you think that us having a Michigan basketball podcast, we would know the details, but I still – it's been so foggy because I thought it was 6 games, and then I was watching the Purdue game, and they mentioned something kind of off the cuff, like, yeah, Doug's suspended for, you know, the all of the road games. And I'm like, all of the road games? I thought it was six and that he would be back. But I don't know. I guess that's something to keep an eye on. You think I would have researched that at the end, but I wasn't getting any answers anyway. So we'll see. He should be done. This is a sixth game. He's already had six games served for a suspension, and they're at Rutgers on Thursday.
So that's the question. Does he play at Rutgers? Because it is six games, too.
Quick X search.
It has been six games.
Doug returns to road action at Rutgers.
Okay.
Yep, okay. So Juwan says, Doug is making good progress and has done what we've asked him to do to this point. With that being said, he'll be rejoining the team on the road. We have appreciated his efforts and those who have been supporting him. So that's good. That'll be good. They can start working that cohesiveness together to get towards the Big Ten tournament. But Olivier's out. You know, Will fill in there. Jace will fill in there. But Jalen Llewellyn was out too. And there was something about his knee. And I didn't hear any other reports about Jalen, if it was the bad knee, the knee that he had surgery on, or what's going on there. So that's another thing to look out for, because I thought he was really making a lot of progress, really starting to play aggressive, shooting the ball, shooting the hell out of the ball, and being able to create a little bit in spots where it was giving Namari some breathers there at the two. He could play him and Doug could, you know, they were having Jalen bring it up and Doug was coming off the ball. There was a really cool action that they used to, I think it was towards the end of the first half, and they had a pin down handoff. So Namari brought it up and he was leading the ball, and they had did a pin down. Doug started in the left corner. They did a pin down, and then Namari followed the pin down and did a handoff with Doug, and they got a three, and that put them back up one or two, I think, close to the end of the first half. And that was a great action. I really liked watching. I like watching Doug off the ball. I mean, he is the head of the snake, like we've talked about. But I think those little wrinkles have been huge. You watch, obviously, Steph come off screens all the time. And with how quick Doug is, I think you can really use him off the ball that way. So that was cool to see. I hope they have some more action like that going forward. But that'll be something to watch. Yeah, overall, I just am excited that they competed and played hard and stayed together for the most part. You know, going forward, Rutgers, I don't know what else we could say, man. Like, what else do you want to really see from them besides, like, play tough? I would like to see a little more man-to-man again, but just play tough. Like, have the other team walk away, whether you win or lose, being like, damn, dude, they gave it their all. If you do that consistently, like, you can put together some wins to end the season, and then again, who knows what happens in the Big Ten tournament. But to me, that's, like, the key, right? Like, toughness, like,
and that's the thing. Yep, coaches can't control it. The support staff can't control it. Only the players right now can control how hard they play, how hard they compete. And going into, I think it's three games left in the Big Ten season after Rutgers.
Look how good we are at this podcast.
Yep, so. it's three games left.
Yeah, you're good. Three games.
Yep, three games left, so. I say get some heart momentum. I'm going to make up a saying. Get some heart momentum going into the Big Ten tournament. Just got to
get Petey's coaching corner. Get some heart momentum. I love it.
Get some heart momentum. You know, get that heart, get that blood flowing, get something to play for, which you guys already should have something to play for. But need that extra spark, you know, just to see if Cinderella will be knocking on the door. In Ann Arbor, you know, in
you're
March.
Right now,
but if not, you know, I think we really, really, really have to talk about what's next, too.
Yeah, I agree. Dude, heart momentum is good. I'm going to start using that. That's amazing. You need to start implementing that in your speech.
Yeah, you just need, I mean,
heart momentum to get the Cinderella slipper. Okay, I'm down with that. And I think this is the next step. I think Purdue was at least a step forward for some heart momentum. Putting together 40 minutes, you see what it is. But yeah, let's talk next steps here. We've kind of exhausted the coaching talk. Like, is Juwan going to be fired? Is he going to stay? Ward, I think I was 95% sure that Juwan was going to stay on to the end of the year at least. People were calling for his job. Chris Holtman got fired a few games ago for Ohio State, and people were looking like, is Ward going to do the same thing? I never thought it was a good idea. Still don't. Obviously, now you can't fire him now with three games left. That would be dumb unless he does something else. But that's going to stay true for the end of the year. We've exhausted kind of that talk. We're just going to wait and see what happens with Juwan. You know, once the season is over, Ward will have to figure that out. I'm sure there'll be interviews with Juwan, with other coaches. Who knows what's going to happen, but we'll kind of put that on hold. And I kind of want to talk about the roster moving forward. And so you're going to have some turnover. I mean, Olivier will be gone. Guys can leave, like Doug and Terrace can leave with no penalty. Will Cheddar can leave with no penalty. Namari already a graduate? I don't even know if he has another year of eligibility. But the debate now going on with these teams, and Michigan is ripe for kind of some roster turnover. I hope some guys stay, but they're in the perfect situation, a perfect storm where maybe a coach will leave and then guys can leave. Do you think that there should be a focus if, you know, Juwan stays, comes back, or if there's a new coach? What would your focus be in terms of roster development? I think, you know, you have to use the portal right away when you're a brand new coach, or if you have guys leave. I don't know what their recruiting class looks like at all. But that's been the debate here in the college scene is, are you focusing on the transfer portal more or high school recruits? Like, what would you be your approach? If you were named Michigan coach starting April 1st.
If I'm Michigan coach starting April 1st, the first thing I would do is go to the transfer portal. I'm going to look for guys who are hungry, who've already had experience, you know, who in their career is looking for to take an advantage or take a leap in their career. You know, a lot of guys who are in the transfer portal, they got a chip on their shoulder. That means the place that they were, they didn't feel like they got the minutes. They didn't feel like they got the recognition. So they usually come in with a chip on their shoulder. You get a few in Michigan, you know, it's still Michigan. So I'm sure they can get some great guys out the transfer portal, but that's where I would start, Stu, because I would look for the maturity, rebuilding, you know, if it's a rebuild, I mean, it should be a new coach. So yeah, that's when we will get to the high school recruits and, you know, the coaching staff. But if that's not the case, if Juwan remains a coach for the 2024-25 season, I think it should be I will go with the transfer portal.
It is interesting. Now that you say it, my initial thought is like, you obviously have to hit the transfer portal. We watched, you know, I'm here in Indianapolis and Butler, they were terrible last year. And this year they had six transfers come in, all five starting fives, new transfers. They have one kid that's a recruit
from Detroit, a great one.
The kid that transferred from MSU, Brooks, right? Yeah. So that's one strategy. I think Kansas State a couple years ago when they made that run, they were like a team, a bunch of transfers.
I remember that.
Stats on like the final four teams the last couple years. I think FAU last year was more recruiting, but you see Purdue, they're like all recruiting. And then Lance Jones, they've always done this. They've rotated a guard in. They finally found a perfect fit with Lance Jones. So you need to use a transfer portal to compete for a national championship. But I think if I'm focusing on roster development, I am focused on a transfer portal for guys that are going into their sophomore year. They're kind of bigger recruits.
Yeah.
Didn't get quite the opportunity they wanted, a la maybe a Khalil Ware that was coming from Oregon to IU, although I think he had decent opportunities at Oregon, maybe not quite.
Well, that's the big guy. That's the big guy, right?
Yeah. 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 He might come back. He's I think projected at the end of the first round right now. So those types of guys are huge, where if you can keep them for 3 years because they can't transfer that second time without sitting out a year. So I think those types of gets are few and far between. They're kind of hard to hit, but I'm really focused on that. And also senior guards, like senior ball handlers. I think where you can really develop kids is getting height. You can recruit height and athleticism, see if you can develop those kids. You see how Purdue develops all of these big men. I mean, from the last 3 7-footers they've had, they got a new Swedish guy that's going to fill the role for Edie next year.
Wow.
He's not going to be Zach Edie like Zach Edie was when he finally got the starting spot. But they've done a really good job of like reloading that, like getting a system in, right? Like we're going to recruit, you know, bigs, develop them. We're going to get guards in the system. Now they recruited Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer, but I think you have to get somebody that's comfortable doing it all and then being able to kind of cherry pick when he needs to here and there. Like, okay, we found this guard, this freshman guard that we want to recruit. It's not typically our MO, but we're going to bring him in. I think Juwan, some people have different takes on it. Like Juwan did a really good job in a transfer portal, like should have got Terrence Shannon. That was kind of a fluke with what's his face Beard down there at Texas Tech. I think it was Beard, somebody that Texas Tech coach that was nuts. They didn't really release him. And then Caleb Love, like they probably should have known Caleb Love was never going to be eligible at Michigan. Like the admissions was just never going to let him in. So they kind of, he rope-a-doped himself there with that. That wasn't really a good look. I think Terrence Shannon was a little more unfortunate, but he has done some decent recruiting in the portal. Like guys have committed to him that have talent.
Yeah.
And so you can play the what if game with that all day, but I think that's huge. Like you get these talented guards that are 21, 22, you can play them till, I mean, well, the COVID year is coming up really as an end. Like people are, maybe there's one more class with a COVID year or something like that, but that talent where you can get it in, pay them NIL money, and then they can't transfer again. I think that's, to me, is like, that'd be a big focus because sure. There's no reason to bring on an 18-year-old kid anymore that has zero experience with help side defense, and you got to teach them all over again, and then there goes your first 10 games of the year because you're relying on freshmen. Like, look what happened in the last few years with Juwan. Caleb, Houston, and Musa, that class, very talented players. They lost because they were freshmen and they didn't know how to play. Okay, like, let's just be blunt about it. They couldn't guard. They were lost all the time. Jet Howard, same situation. Super talented, but a lot of defensive lapses because they relied on so many freshmen with Terrace and Doug as well. Doug had to start because Jalen went out. So when you're relying on freshmen, it can be very, very tough. You see Kentucky struggles. When's the last great freshman class they've had? Like that Anthony Davis team that was like unbelievable. Maybe the Harrison twins after that. But I just don't think you can do that anymore. Like to have an 18-year-old kid come in, there's no more Carmelos that are really coming in and winning you a championship. I mean, Vaquero was one. Like there's few and far between. So I think you don't really worry about high school recruiting anymore. That's kind of sad, no? It kind of sucks. It takes the excitement out of it. But as a high school kid, it just kind of changes the landscape a little bit. Like I wouldn't go to a big school if I was a recruit anymore in my position. Now, you could have gone to a Michigan right out of the gate. And I should have gone to a smaller school anyways, to be honest with you. But I would have gone to like a Toledo or some MAC school, something where like, okay, I'm going to develop here and then I'm going to leave. Like that should have been, my plan now if I was a teenager. I don't know how you think you would approach it as a kid.
Now, with the big schools, you kind of get blinded early because of the name and you think and the expectations you put on yourself.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I know you went through this too. So I put bigger expectations on myself and put a lot of pressure on myself to, you know, I felt like I was a top recruit in the country. You know, once you get that on you, you go to a school, everybody's, especially if you're number one in your state, everybody's, you know, depending on you, they're watching you to do something. You go to an in-state school and, you know, the first few games of your freshman career is shaky, you know, that's a detrimental time because a lot of people don't bounce back. You know, you put yourself in this hole as far as your confidence and it's hard to shake out. My freshman year at Michigan, I kind of did that, you know. I thought I was going to come in and play. I didn't care who was there as far as in my position. I grew a rapport with the guys. I already knew the guys, but I didn't care. So I thought I was going to be the guy that was playing, and I'm Deshaun Sims, and I got a false sense of reality. The coach who recruited me, he wasn't this nice guy that was on my couch persuading me to come to school. The first day he did something so crazy and yelled, and I'm like, you yelling at me? I thought you know, what's up, man? Like, I'm Deshaun. You wanted me here. Like, then I wasn't playing. It was crazy, but I was able to, you know, get a resurgence with Beeline, and you know, he insured me some things coming in that you would get an opportunity to play. It's going to be your opportunity, and I took that and was able to make something out of it. But being an incoming freshman coming in, now it would be hard to take a chance on him. Like, just like you said, I want somebody who can hoop, who's experienced, who, you know what I mean, knows the game. I don't want to have to teach help side defense. And if I'm a coach, 10 games, 5 games, teaching defensive strategies, you know, that could be your job, you know? That quickness, you know, trying to implement or teach. They don't even let you teach no more, Stu. You can't even teach the game no more. You lose a couple games, you know.
You're there now. You're there now as a coach. You've seen the other side.
Yeah, I've seen the other side. But, you know, I read some positive things about Juwan. You know, he's been there 5 years, and I looked at, you know, the things he did. You know, coming off that decade span where Michigan just was killing it, I'm sure you were a part of that. The resurgence of Michigan basketball, the things Beeline did. And Juwan didn't do bad those first couple of years, you know. So, no. It's like
– And people talk about, like – I do understand, like, there was a Beeline culture with Livers and, you know, he brought in Franz. I mean, he kept Franz there. So, Franz didn't play for Beeline. But there was a culture established, and, like, he was handed a silver spoon. I, like, handed a program on a platter and ruined it. I don't really buy into that.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that.
I don't fully agree with it. I mean, I do agree, like, you can – any coach can come in and let a culture go to shit. Like, that's – you can do that. That's possible. And that is possible that that is what's going on here. I'm not going to speculate. Huh?
No comment.
No. I don't know what's going on here. I don't know how the culture is like. I have no idea. But, I mean, it's possible that he did that. But, you know, you – players turn over, man. Like, Franz left, Livers left. You know, players turn over. So it's like, to say I got handed a program is just kind of odd. Like, it's, I don't even know how to articulate. You have to change over vice versa, Stu.
If that can work vice versa, you could be handed a program. This shit.
But that's kind of my point. It's like, it's kind of a blank slate every year. Now, there's a culture thing for sure, and I'm not in the huddle. I'm not in the locker room. I'm not in the practices. I have no idea what it's like. So you can ruin that part of it. Like, if there was some momentum with culture, like guys were buying in and you have the same one coming out, you know, it's not hard to establish your own culture there. Beeline kind of came in and was a little hard-ass because he thought that he had to revamp everyone in the culture, and there was some of that for sure. There was some hangover from the Amaker years, but it's a little bit of a clean slate for each year because you have roster turnover and you have to mesh new talent and you have to teach freshmen. And then your roster is going to be a little different. Maybe this year you have 3 transfer grad transfers that are older and more experienced. You don't have to do that coaching as much. And when you saw that Juwan had the talent and the experience, what they did with that Michigan team was amazing. They were really damn good. Now, it's nice to have – I think Franz Wagner is a future NBA All-Star, and he was kind of underrated at the time, but they finally kind of unlocked him there. But you could see, like, that offense was an NBA-style offense. It was free. Like, you better figure it out. Like, you let your talent figure it out. And over the years, he's had to reel that NBA-style offense back in, and they've had to call sets. They have a base set now. They've simplified the offense where they have an action, go-to actions that they go to and certain concepts they want to hit. So I think his coaching style has changed. I don't remember exactly where I was going to end this point, but it's, yeah, the whole silver platter thing kind of, I don't really enjoy that. Doesn't really make too much sense to me because you really have to establish your own thing. You can't just be Beeline 2.0 or Beeline Junior. Like, that's just not how this stuff works. So it was always like, everyone's gone from those teams. So, like, he had to establish his own thing, and that's been his detriment. He wasn't at, like, some advantage because of Beeline was there. Like, when you have a coach leave, you still have to keep recruits. You have to recruit yourself. Like, you have people have to know that you're established. So like, it's still hardships no matter what. It's not like Shire was a much easier transition. What they did with Shire and Duke was pretty, it was very seamless. And I thought, you know, people kind of bashed Krzyzewski for his farewell tour, but it was about recruits and it was about keeping that culture and keeping the same idea, the Duke identity that was under Krzyzewski. And that was very important to him to keep that while after he was gone. And so while that's why he stayed on the bench. And I thought it was a brilliant move. I thought that was really well done, and they've done it. They kept the recruits and everything. So those are dime a dozen kind of situations, but it's not been super easy for Juwan. I'm kind of rambling at this point, but yeah, I just always hated that sentiment. So we'll see what happens. You know, with the transfer portal, there'll be a lot to talk about once the season ends and kind of, you know, Ant always does his video breakdowns and there's like the rankings of people entering the transfer portal and it'll be a hot mess. Moving forward though, and I want to get into this in future episodes, Michigan needs, I think, a more consistent NIL program, and they really need to start figuring that out and not rely on fan-based funds to keep your Blake Corums. Now, those are nice, and they did really well, and they built the championship team with those fan-based funds. But the basketball team is a little different, and they need to build a baseline on with NIL that competes with other programs. And there's – I mean, you got guys like – who was it? It was Gonzaga offered, I think it was Braden Smith, like $650,000 for next year. And so it's like stuff like that that you're competing against when you get talent. And so you need to establish kind of a culture there where everyone's getting love top to bottom on the roster. And then your top players, you're giving them opportunities. And I want to talk about more of this in other episodes. Purdue has done an amazing job with that. Top to bottom, and I'm in Indiana, so I see the cheesy ass commercials all the time. But I think
you spoke about that.
That's a landscape that somebody's got to figure out, you know.
Yep. So man, yeah, man. So all I can say is, man, keep fighting hard, Michigan boys. You know, it's not over till it's over. The off season not here yet. We can speak about it because that's our job. But
We were one missed half-court shot away from Evan Turner from advancing in the Big Ten tournament in our worst year together and maybe making some noise in the Big Ten tournament. So you never know what can happen. And the heart momentum. Heart momentum.
Yeah, heart momentum for sure, man. Y'all need to pump your hearts up, man. Whatever y'all need to do. Beautiful. I need to come up there on the campus and give you guys some spiel, man. Give you guys some confidence, man. Whatever you need to do, just go out fighting. We love you guys, and we want the best for all you guys. We just need you guys to step it up.